I really was ready to express, you know, myself and the ideas that I had in my head, and really wanted to create an opportunity to show the people why World Lit and getting World Lit is so important to me, and actually what it actually means to get World Lit.
Yes.
But the festival, we got World Lit. Like, I really feel like we did.
Wait, what's getting World Lit? What is getting World Lit? Make me hit.
So getting World Lit is when we escape to another world.
Yes.
I mean, you can do it all kinds of ways. You can read a book, you know, you can study a foreign language.
World Lit.
Lit, you know, literacy, understand other cultures.
Literate.
But, you know, of course, lit, you know, has other connotations. And so, I mean, I really wanted to take, use the party, the party aspect to create this platform for us to just come together and create.
Welcome to First Gens. This is a podcast about first generation Americans and filling in the blanks beside the hyphen. You guys, I'm so excited today. You don't want to know why I'm so excited? I'm excited because we have such an amazing guest today. This is going to be a bonus episode of First Gens, where we're going to hear from the founder, the creator, the mastermind behind the World Lit Street Food Festival that took place here in Charlotte for the first time ever this fall. So I want to introduce you all to my friend, Brandy.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Brandy. Yes, we're so happy to have you on First Gens. So
thank you. And I mean, I'm so excited to be here. I think what you guys are doing is amazing. And thank First Gens, you. I've learned so much just listening to y'all's show. So happy to participate.
Aw, we love it. Thank you. You guys don't understand. I've already told Brandy this before, but I'm so proud of her because to put together, okay, let me rewind, because this was about a year ago at Black Market Photo Studio Art Gallery in Camp North End, where we had like this, it was kind of like a informal kind of discussion, community discussion that our friend Dammit Wesley has, and it's called Let's Talk Dammit, or Damn it, let's talk. I can't remember, but it's called one of those.
Let's talk, damn it.
Let's talk, damn it. And during Let's Talk, Damn It, like, we just had people, like local creatives, just come in, you know, and I can't even remember what the topic was for that event, but Brandy was there. That was the first time I met Brandy about a year ago. And we were just talking, you know, I met her when we first, like before the event started, I met her mom.
Yes, mom was in the building at Black Market.
Oh, mama was live in the Black Market. And it's very funny because, like, our friend Dammit Wesley is a little, like, a little uncuffed. And so it's funny, like, when mamas are around because, you know, like, whatever. But she was there and so supportive, and just, she just looks so, like, happy and just proud of Brandy. And it was just, it was really, like, awesome because, like, it was the first time I met you, but I was just like, this is really awesome. Like, I'm happy that her mom is here with her for this.
And I feel like my mom was just blown away by all the creativity in one room. She was really impressed.
Really?
So, yeah, and she had a great time.
Isn't that cool? Like, I just love that that space specifically can bring together so many dope, like, creatives here in Charlotte. But during that event, I remember we were, like, going around and kind of talking about things we're trying to get up off the ground. And Brandy just was talking about World Lit.
And let me just tell you, it took me some effort to even speak up and say anything about it, because I'm so shy. I was like, well, dang, I have my mommy all the way out here. Mom, so let me go ahead and make sure I'm making good use of this.
And you did. And you did. Okay, so can you tell everybody, like, about World Lit? Like, what is World Lit?
Oh, man. I always start out with this so much stuff. So let me see. World Lit, it started out as a platform to get the word out about international nightlife and entertainment in Charlotte.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it just didn't come out of anywhere. I mean, right. Nowhere. I really always was interested in culture, like even as a small child.
Yeah.
Like different people of different cultures always kind of captivated my attention.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. This is different. This is interesting. This is cool. And then even over the years, like through traveling and seeing different places abroad and, you know, smelling different smells, hearing different yes. music, hearing different sounds and accents. When you travel, you create these spaces that you end up longing for when you come back home.
Yeah.
So World Lit is kind of an expression of that. Right. The idea is that you can have international experiences locally. You don't have to
yes.
travel. You don't have to get on a plane and travel these far places. There's a lot of culture here yeah. locally. And, I mean, I just want everybody to know that it's accessible.
Yes, it is. And I think that that's amazing because, one, like, my biggest regret from undergrad and graduate school is that I never studied abroad.
Okay.
And whenever I'm on like career panels or whatever, and they like literally like ask me like, what's something that you wish you would have done? I'm like, I wish I would have studied abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that I'm blessed, you know, being the child of immigrants as a first gen, because I think that that already kind of cemented a more worldly view
right.
for me technically, but it still, you know, came with actually traveling and seeing it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think once you do travel, you're able to just like, one, just open up your perspective. I think it makes you a lot more grateful for different things, mm-hmm. but then it just kind of shows you, like it forces you to get out your comfort zone, right? To get out your bubble.
Right. And I mean, there's so much amazing stuff that you can learn once you jump out of that bubble.
Yeah.
Like in one of my trips, this was 10 years ago, mm-hmm. I went to Brazil and I was there. I stacked everything, like my vacation together so I could be there for a month and some change.
Yes.
Okay. And I fell in love with the music. And it was, I think what drew me to Brazil was the accent and just the language mm-hmm. and just... I got down there, I spent a lot of time, but when I got back, it was like, hey, I need to find a piece of Brazil, you know? And so...
Because you loved it so much,
yeah.
So you just wanted to kind of relive that too and reconnect.
Uh-huh, and actually learn how to samba and stuff like
yeah.
that. And found a lady, shout out to Ia, she taught me how to samba here. She just relocated to California, like when I first started looking for, located here from California
mm-hmm.
when I was looking for samba
yeah.
instruction. And she was the only one giving lessons in Charlotte at the time.
Yeah.
And she was my escape to Brazil every Saturday morning at the YMCA,
so
you know?
Yes, come on, Y. Come on, taking a passport through the Y. I love it.
Yeah.
Yes. But, I mean, it's little experiences like that, right, that mm-hmm. I think can really, like you said, transport you. So I think what's really interesting with first-generation Americans, like, specifically, I think sometimes... We may become almost ashamed of our culture. This is usually something that takes place when we're in like middle school, when
okay.
everyone's trying to fit in, you're trying to blend in, and we've had tons of guests kind of share similar experiences. When you're like middle school, you just want to blend in, you don't want to stand out. And then it kind of happens, something happens the older you get. By the time you either get in high school, by the time you get in college, or if you mm-hmm. have a child or something, it's almost like some kind of light bulb turns on when you're like, okay, this is who I am. Like, I want to learn more. And mm-hmm. I think people start to dive like deeper. And I think that personally, a lot of people, especially Black Americans, I get personally very excited when other Black Americans are interested mm-hmm. in, you know, West African culture specifically. Do you feel as though there's been like any like barriers when you've come to try to expose people to new things?
So I haven't really seen any barriers.
Yeah.
I mean, not that there aren't any barriers out there, but most people I come across to are very, you know, eager across, are very eager to learn and participate. But I do see an opportunity there to play up the diaspora. I mean, and for example, with like the huge population of Black people in Brazil, you know, and, you know, African population like in Brazil and all that culture, it excites me to see, you know, Black people here seeing this whole other spin on African and, you know, Black culture through samba and Brazilian music. So I see it as a way to connect us in a lot of ways.
I think so, too. That's why I love it so much. Okay, so getting into the street food festival. So you develop Worldlit, right? You're like, I want to figure out a way to bring these experiences, you know, to Charlotte, like locally. Like, what was your next step? Like, how did you get from this idea of Worldlit to actually creating a street food festival?
Oh, man, I feel like it was a lot of stored up energy.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you, Worldlit really started in 2015, 2016. And it was a platform on social media putting the information out about the events. So I wasn't really doing events. It was more kind of corralling and trying to educate, you know, the people about the culture, the rich culture that we have here in Charlotte. And after you do that for so long, it's like I really was ready to express, you know, myself and the ideas that I had in my head and really wanted to create an opportunity to show the people why Worldlit and getting Worldlit is so important to me and actually what it actually means to get Worldlit.
Yes.
But the festival, we got Worldlit. Like, I really feel like we did.
Wait, what's getting Worldlit? What is getting Worldlit? Make me hit.
So getting Worldlit is when we escape to another world. I mean, you can do it all kinds of ways. You can read a book, you know, you can study a foreign language. Lit, you know, literacy, understand other cultures. But, you know, of course, lit, you know, has other connotations. And so, I mean, I really wanted to take, use the party, the party aspect to create this platform for us to just come together and create. So the festival allowed me, the festival created this canvas for me to allow us all to get Worldlit and understand what it means.
Yes, I love that. Okay, so everyone followed, right? Brandy just gave you like all the different ways that you too can get Worldlit. So I hope you all made a checklist. I hope you guys are going to read your books and do the things.
There's a million ways to get it.
There's a million ways to get it. You need to make that like a social media like campaign or something, like promo. So you're like giving people ideas, you know? Okay, so Brandy, within the Worldlit Festival, right? So you had performers. You had food trucks. Obviously, it's a street food festival. You had just like vendors. So like how did you actually narrow all of that down? Like how did you select who was a part of Worldlit?
Oh man, a lot of that. Okay, well, where should I start? Let's start. Okay, it is the street food festival.
Right. First
so
of all,
we'll start with food.
Okay. And why food? Why make it a street food festival specifically?
Okay, let me shout out my brother right quick. We're sitting around the dinner table at like Christmas or something. He's like, you should do a street food festival. I was like, huh, maybe I should. I mean, I love food, don't get me wrong, but the idea wasn't to do a food festival. It was just knowing that food brings people together.
Okay.
You know, like food nourishes our soul.
Right.
I mean, we all have to eat, you know. So it was kind of like a means to help me get my, and get my, the concept out.
Gotcha.
But, and I mean, and food, street food is becoming more popular and popular. I mean, actually, like when I, when the, when the idea sparked, I mean, I got kind of addicted to watching those street food videos.
What street food videos?
Like on YouTube.
Like when they're making it?
When they show the guys like just tasting all the street food in different parts of the world. I can't remember what their names are, but it's a bunch of them, and they travel around and they just eat, and like you just see this food in the markets and in the streets, and it just looks amazing. Give me some. Let's bring it to Charlotte. That's what I really wanted to do. And so I mean, I'm not sure what I really tried to do this time was to make sure I didn't use food trucks per se. Like I encourage the vendors, like the street level, eye level vendors, so we can have that interaction between the people. Yeah. You know, instead of, because I feel like food trucks create this barrier. They're up higher. I mean, it's like if there's less, it has less of that natural market feel.
Yeah, that's true. That's a really smart angle that you took there.
I really wanted to try to stay as true to the title as I could.
I love that.
And then as far as the vendors that I picked, oh, man, that was a struggle, Perrine. That was a struggle.
Why?
Because it was hard to get people to participate because nobody was really familiar. What is World Lit? Nobody was really familiar with the festival. It's new. And so there was a lot of hesitancy.
Yeah.
I reached out to all kinds of restaurants, and there was some. I needed some morale boost, like the Banh Mi shop. Shout out to Banh Mi Brothers.
Yeah,
I came in. I told him about the event. He was like, "This sounds like fun. Like this sounds like."
He was genuinely like excited.
Right, he was really excited about it, and he like canceled his other festival for.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that speaks a lot, Brandy. That's a lot on you. You understand that, right? You understand that was you because you sold that and you were compelling and you are able to, like you said, take a little name, maybe not an unknown festival, but maybe a small named brand, and you sold that like with your own passion. Like that speaks volumes to you.
Well, thank you.
So, friend, you come on.
Yeah, give yourself the flowers. I needed that that morale boost, basically.
Yeah.
So, and then one thing I ran into was there were people that wanted to participate. I was really trying to get some African vendors and some East African, some West African representation. But this is what it is. One thing, Charlotte's not a big city. We're growing. And so a lot of these restaurants just don't have the staff. That's what I ran into. There were people that wanted to participate, but the capacity just wasn't there.
It wasn't there. Yeah.
So, but I guess that's kind of what makes an event like this special for Charlotte is because, yes, Charlotte is diverse. We have the representation, but it's just not, it's not in your face. There's not a lot of it.
Right.
And so you kind of have to put in some effort to bring it to the surface and get it to the people.
Do you think that now that it's had such a grand success that those same people who didn't have the capacity or maybe they said no are now like looking back like, dang, I know that girl. I should have been there. There was how many people there? Dang, I would have made bank. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Right?
I hope so. I definitely have more of a case now.
Yeah,
I
mean, for sure.
To their defense, it was really an idea. So hopefully some of those people will consider participating.
They'd be dumb not to. Like when I say like the crowd, like how many people did you guys get an accurate tally?
We had a pretty decent one. At least 2,400 people came out.
Brandy, how many were you expecting?
Oh my goodness.
Did you even have a number?
So at first, early on, I was like, okay, well, maybe 500 people will come out. And then, like, a week before the event, I was like, okay, let's see, 1,500.
Yeah.
1,500, and I'll be good, you know.
And you got 2,400.
Yeah, I'm so thankful.
Brandy!
I feel like Charlotte.
Can we have a hand clap? Clap it up. Yep. 2,400. Explosion.
Charlotte's ready. I feel like Charlotte's ready.
Brandy, like, come on. Okay, so we have to get back to, like, the performers and mm-hmm. the other people you had at this festival. But I, too, think Charlotte was ready. I think that food, like you were mentioning, like, why you wanted to start with food and why you wanted specifically street food vendors and, like, your passion for food. But the easiest way to share your culture is through food.
Right.
Period.
Right.
And so that's what's so powerful, you know? And so many cultures, like, come together, like, with food. Mm-hmm. Like, gatherings, weddings, like, holidays, celebrations are, like, all centered around food. Mm-hmm. Look forward to the First Gen's food series coming soon.
Okay.
So it's just like, you know what I mean? Like, it just makes sense. Yeah. So it's just like, I mean, okay, when you got that final tally, or even when you just saw the people, because even where we were parked at, like at Black Market, mm-hmm. that was an exit or an entrance, one side. So I saw some people, like, we got traffic like crazy. But, and I saw tons of people like walking and coming by, but that was only maybe one third because mm-hmm. there were other entrances there people could have come through. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how'd you feel like with all of that? Like,
oh, it was amazing. I was elated, you know, so I was just happy that, you know, more people than I expected were able to just get a taste and a view and get to hear like the vision, you know, in person. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Yes. I love it. All right, so the performers, the other people, how did you get other people involved, you know, like,
yeah,
to fill it out, to make it like an actual, like, full out, it was a festival, like, yeah, there was street food, mm-hmm. but it was so much more than just a street food festival,
right? Music was the main backdrop to it. I mean, I'm a musician at heart, so so it's funny, like, the music part was what I had planned before anything else.
It's important, though. You gotta set the vibe. And how do you set the vibe?
Yeah, music sets the vibe. It sets the party. Because I really wanted it to be a party. I wanted it to feel like a market and people get the street food vibe. But I also wanted to have music and for people to party together.
Yeah.
So, as far as the artists, what do we have? We had Henok Huri from Eritrea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He actually has ties to Charlotte. His family lives in Charlotte.
Oh, wow.
And I happened to come across, I randomly met maybe one of his, a friend of his who told me about his music. And he said, he lives in Charlotte or his family's in Charlotte. And I look it up online. I'm like, hold on. I look at his music video and it's this whole like Eritrean pop song, but I'm like, is that Monroe Road? Like, yeah, I mean, that's this is in Charlotte. Oh, this part is in Romere Bearden Park.
Like, right, like he's literally in Charlotte.
Yeah, so yeah, this is Charlotte talent. And okay. So I know we have a Eritrean and, you know, Ethiopian Habesha community here. And so I just really wanted to pay homage to that community.
Yeah.
Especially knowing that we have this star amongst us.
Right.
Henok, I mean, you can look at his YouTube. He has like 2 millions of YouTube views on his songs. And, you know, I mean, he's so tied to the city. And so I really wanted to create a platform to like bring him to a wider audience.
Right.
So there's that. And then also, it's so funny, when I was trying to come up with the date for the event, and we ended up falling on September 7th, which mm-hmm. is Brazilian Independence Day.
Oh my goodness, I didn't even know that.
Right. So yeah, I know.
Come on, Brazil. Stand up, Brazil.
And so Charlotte doesn't really have a independence, a big regular Independence Day event.
Like an actual
I've actually traveled to New York for their Independence Day event. But so with it, I just felt like it was a sign, it was fate, whatever. Because it fell on September 7th, so it was a great excuse to get that community out and to provide Samba Pagogi for them.
Yeah,
and
like
so that's how Terma de Samba got involved. Yeah, so
thank you.
I was really excited about that band because Samba Pagogi is huge in Brazil and we just don't get it. We don't get it here in Charlotte. I mean, we don't get it in North Carolina, period.
Yeah.
That band came down from New York. So
what? That's amazing. Like the fact that you were able to give representation and to celebrate them, like, you know, uniquely through like that day, like that means a lot. I'm sure like Brazilians that came to that event were very like thankful and happy that you had them there, you know? Like that means a lot for people. Like it's hard for immigrants, you know, like being in this country and like not seeing your culture. Mm-hmm. Like you just take little things that you can. Like we go to Zoe's for every Liberian Independence Day because it's the only African restaurant here in Charlotte.
Uh-huh.
So like that's where like that me and my cousin Hillary have made that like a tradition of ours. Like for the past 2 years, like we've gone to Zoe's and they have like a little African like menu and like Liberian food celebration. And that kind of stuff, that means a lot because the communities are here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just great to celebrate them. I love that.
Right. Like the communities are here, but it's like they're all tucked away. Charlotte is still growing. So it's like we just have to make that nudge to bring it out.
To bring them out.
So, I mean, as far as Brazil, the feedback, I mean, I got good feedback on that. People were excited to have that band there.
Yeah.
And like my boyfriend and his sister, they were like, they felt like they were in Brazil.
What?
And I mean, so that is the epitome of getting world lit.
That's one of the goals. That's the goal.
So, I mean, I was just happy we were all able to get world lit. So let's see, what else? Then there was a Latin band, Sambacha. Are you familiar with them?
I've heard of them.
They play a lot around in Charlotte and they're really good.
Nice.
We have a lot of Latin. Mm-hmm. Like Latin and representation in Charlotte. So,
yeah.
I mean, I more so was emphasizing the Brazilian and the Eritrean. Because I wanted to emphasize the less accessible.
Really the more often, I think, seen.
Right.
Honestly.
Right.
Because I think you always hear about specific, like, African countries, like, specifically, like, West. You hear about Nigerians, like, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You hear about, like, I would say maybe Cuba or, like, Mexico, like, all the time as far as, like, other Hispanic communities. But I think that that's awesome that you're able to, like, bring Brazil, like, when do we talk about Brazil?
Right,
we talk about, like, Ethiopia. Like, I think some people might know about, like, Ethiopian food and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. Eritrean, you don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they don't get as much shine, I think, on like a more national scale.
Right. So not until Nip.
Right. Right. You know? Instead of Nipsey. Yeah. So that's what's dope. Like, I'm happy that you were able to pick specific cultures like that, too.
So what else do we have? We had we'd had a roots reggae band.
Uh-huh.
That was fun. And they're good. They actually came out from Winston-Salem. And then we had these block parties. So we had the West Indian block party. I'm not sure if you see that part?
I didn't see it. Like, I just heard of everything because I was like doing thing. We're recording. So
yeah.
I was kind of tucked away.
But yeah, Soca Fit, Keisha Bridgman from Soca Fit. And I mean, I can go off on her and how she creates world lit experiences for the city.
Yeah.
I mean, she brings carnival to Charlotte every fitness class she does.
Yes. And I saw, like, you saw, like, people, like, women walking around in, like, their carnival kind of traditional garb, like, with the feathers and everything, which I thought was really dope. Like, that was, like, one of, like, my first things when I, like, entered the festival that really caught my eye that I thought was really dope. I was like,
okay,
carnival.
Cool. That's
like,
what's up.
I think that's really dope. That's a really cool element as well.
Thank you. I mean, yeah, they, I, Actually, I mean, I didn't even have the idea for the feathers. I mean, but they brought all that out.
That's like, come on, mama. Okay. Yeah.
And then did you see the Bhangra dance class?
No, but Rashmili told me about it. Okay. Because it was like her friend.
Shout out to Carolina Desi. Yeah.
Come on. Carolina Desi. You know, those are our like cousins. Those are our like South Indian cousins. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like that was dope because Rashmili stopped by and she told me. So I was like, oh man, we had Bhangra like out here. That was dope.
So yeah, like I said, the idea was to really create a party vibe and set it up to get people to participate.
Yeah.
So we had dance instructors there to, you know, you have a teacher, it means, okay, well, we're supposed to learn something. So, right. You know, we're supposed to learn, then we're going to participate. And then boom, we have a party. So yeah. That was the idea behind that.
Cool. I love it. All right, so you've mentioned all of these, like, amazing, like, fabulous elements. Like, is there, like, futuristically, like, where do you see World Lit going? Mm-hmm. And futuristically, like, where do you see the Street Food Festival, like, going or growing into?
At this point, I want to say that I want this to be an annual event. Yeah. I want this to grow into not just one-time thing, just right. Make it annual and something that the city can look forward to, and hopefully it will grow.
Yeah, it definitely will. You can't do something that dope, have 2,400 people come out. Because now people that came and saw are like, everyone else who didn't are like, damn, I missed out on that. Or even with the food, like, I know that, like, if there's one, like, constructive thing was just that okay. I know that the lines were long. But that's because you had so many people.
Like, yeah, we didn't know.
And like, what do you do, right? Yeah. So I think that next time, like, I just see it expanding. I see you taking over all of Camp North End, and I see you like having vendors and food and like expanding it out like beyond the boiler yard.
Oh, because man. Thanks for saying
it's
that.
It's gonna, and we have to speak things into existence. True. Fine. You know what I mean? Like, so let's plan it. Cause again, like, you were able to do this. Like, and I'm not gonna say, like, I wanna give credit to World Lit prior to the Street Food Festival. Mm-hmm. Because, like, what you were doing, friend, was still like noticed. And rewinding back to the first time I met Brandy, mm-hmm. and Brandy was like telling everyone about World Lit, and like, I could just sense it in the room. Like, everyone was like, this is a dope idea. Like, what is she worried about? We were just like, do it, girl. How can I help? How can she help?
Right.
Like, it was just...
Not supportive.
Yeah, it was like just everyone kind of open arms, like, let's do it, like, you know, to like kind of keep pushing you. And I hope that in itself was like affirmation. And if that was affirmation, then this event was just kind of like... solidifying the vision. And I think the next is just, this is the mission that you got to keep carrying out.
Right.
And so it's just like, for me, I'm like, keep thinking big, dreaming big, because at the end of the day, all those food trucks and restaurants and people that said no are definitely, not only are they going to say yes, but they're going to be coming to you. Like, once you start putting this out there, people are going to start swarming to you. You're going to be turning people away.
I hope so.
So I'm serious. Like, people are going to really want to be a part of this. And so I'm really excited, like, you know, for the future and everything. Because I really, like, you literally only have to go up. Like, you're only going up from here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
You know, tying it back to First Gens... one thing about it is, I guess the festival also, it gives the opportunity to, you know, the first geners to jump in and showcase their culture and, you know, and enjoy it and share and learn others, you know?
Right. Be that connector.
Just the more connections and stuff that we have and that we make, I mean, I guess the better Charlotte's going to be, right? Yeah. So that's why what you're doing is important, you know?
Thank
that's
you.
Why every little bit counts.
Yeah. That's why, like, I knew that when I met you, I was like, we have to do something together. Yeah. I didn't know what it was yet. We didn't know, but we knew it had to be something. And so I'm excited for, you know, future collaborations and just uplifting you and supporting you. You know, you always have a home here.
Thank you so much.
And, you know, like, we're just here to, like, you know, put it out there. And again, to, like, just continue to grow it. So
thank you so much.
We've got you.
Appreciate the encouragement.
Yeah, Brandy. Okay, so to close it up, can you tell everyone where they can find World Lit, how they can learn more about World Lit, how they can contact you, anything? Like, just give the people the things.
Okay, so you can contact, you can get reach World Lit on Facebook at World Space Lit. That's the World Lit page. There's also a World Lit Street Food Festival page on Facebook as well. Instagram, my primary means of contact is world_LIT. So that's another thing. We have a lot of updating to do on our social media right now from the pictures and everything. So you're not going to see it if you look at it today, but it's coming.
It's coming, guys. It's coming. All right.
And then also worldlitstreetfoodfest.com. We have some updates underway for that website as
awesome.
Well.
Awesome. Come on, website.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Brandy.
Thank you, Brandy.
I appreciate you, friend.
All right, I appreciate you,
so much.
Too.
Yay! So, yes, everyone, follow World Lit. Do all the World Lit things. You now know how to stay and be World Lit. So do it.
Get World Lit.
Yes! Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcast. It helps other people find us and truly, truly makes a huge impact on the success of this podcast. We can also be found on Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and truly anywhere else you get your podcast. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FirstGens. That's the number one, STGENS. Plus, get tons of bonus content on our website, FirstGensPodcast.com. FirstGens was created by me, Perrine DeShield, and is co-hosted by my lovely and talented cousin, Sky Wilson, and I. Our musical composer is the wonderful and talented Nick Stubblefield. A huge thank you to our special guest for sharing their FirstGens experience today. FirstGens is a proud member of Huga, a co-working space based out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Thank you so much for all of your love and support.